Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Great weekend, Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
It was great.
Hope everybody had a wonderful Father's Day celebration.
Amen.
And we're glad to have you back listening to AFR on this. Is this the longest day of the year?
Nope. It was Saturday.
Yesterday was the first day of summer, right?
Yes. But days are getting shorter.
So yesterday was the longest day of the year, right?
Well, I'm not sure how that works.
I think it's Saturday was the longest.
And then the first day of summer was yesterday.
Okay. Well, regardless.
All downhill from
We go back to, we're going back towards darkness.
Yes. That's right. That's a Captain Sunshine comment. That's a metaphor for
for our world today, isn't it? An unintentional one at that. So, but Fred's going to bring the happy news this morning from around the country and across the globe.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, did you realize that, remember that sandstorm or that dust storm I warned you about coming
in from
Africa?
It has arrived.
It's arrived on the U.S.?
I think I saw on the weekend where the eastern end of the Caribbean is starting to see some indication of it.
But it's supposed to come to the U.S., at least the southern part, where you can, it somehow affects the, now it's not going to be collecting on our cars or anything like that, I don't think, but we are going to be able to see it as a haze in the sky that affects, they said it's going to cause a beautiful sunset.
Now there's a positive spin on it. Beautiful sunsets.
A dust storm from Africa creates memorable sunsets.
In the U.S.
That's a positive spin.
But have you ever heard of this before?
I haven't, but apparently it happens every year.
It's from the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, our weather patterns go from west to east, right?
Right.
When you have fronts, you don't have a front coming from
this part of on the eastern part of the country.
Right. So, for a weather system to come, if that's what you call this, come from Africa. Now, you do have that when you have tropical
storms,
weather and storms. They often develop off the coast of Africa and then come.
The trade winds carry them.
Maybe it's the trade winds, the way the trade.
And it has to do with how hot the ocean is and the. Mm-hmm. The wind picks up, so there's a whole science to that.
Yeah, I think this is where we stop with our meteorology, that thing.
There are apparently people who study the weather.
All right, Fred, what's happening today?
Here's the headline: deadly weekend in Seattle, Chicago, Minneapolis, as New York City reports uptick in shootings. You talk about the darkness of the weekend. But, you know, we talk about Chicago a lot, gentlemen, but this weekend, and I just got this headline from the Associated Press, 14 fatally shot in Chicago over Father's Day weekend. All told, from Friday evening to this morning in Chicago, 102 people were shot.
That's staggering. When you said that this morning, just before the show started, that was hard. That's hard to fathom.
102 separate incidents of people being shot, and multiple sad stories. One of the victims in Chicago, a 3-year-old, who police said was fatally shot Saturday as a boy was in a car with his father in South Austin neighborhood. And then they say a young lady was sitting in her living room, 13-year-old girl. She was shot in the neck while watching TV in her home. So she's sitting in her living room watching TV and a stray bullet comes in and kills her. So it's just absolutely horrible. What you probably did see on the weekend were stories from Seattle and the CHOP zone, as it's being called. These are where the radicals have taken over at least three to six blocks of the
city.
No,
this is not where radicals have taken over. This is where where average Washingtonians have taken over in their own state, because they're not doing squat about it.
That's right.
I know what you're saying, Fred.
Yes.
But I'm just pointing out that they may be radical, but they're not radical enough to be shut down.
That's right. With the blessing of the mayor of the city and the governor of Washington State, these people, they're twice the police were called to this zone. Remember now, these are people who want to defund police departments. But police were called because of shootings inside this zone, which resulted in at least one death and two people wounded. The police get there, and they are immediately, protesters descend upon them. They're just trying to get in there. There's videos of this, by the way. Police are trying to get in there, and these people are trying to stop them. And finally, the police are told, oh, by the way, we dumped these people in the back of a car and took them to a hospital. So, I mean, the police didn't have a chance to get these individuals out there, get ambulances in there to help out. And these are people who don't want police.
Or investigate. They couldn't investigate the shooting.
No, can't. Minneapolis, the same way. The shooting there, one person killed. Charlotte, North Carolina, two people dead in the midst of what's called Juneteenth celebration. So, looking at all of this.
Well, I don't think they were shot because they were celebrating Juneteenth.
They were at a Juneteenth celebration.
Okay.
And, I mean, I don't know who anybody's
who
been arrested
them,
there.
But.
Yes. So all of this going on, as I say, for the most part in cities controlled by Democrats, for the most part in areas where there are protesters saying defund police departments.
It's also getting really violent, more than normal, in New York City now.
Yes.
I was noticing the shootings were way up, the killings were way up compared to prior. Well, they were saying the coronavirus, they've let a lot of criminals out of jail.
And a lot of courts are closed as well because of the coronavirus. So they're not cycling through the cases. A lot of these people, because New York City has new bail reform regulations.
Yes.
Where people are being let out on the street. I was reading from one of the New York City Police Department officials, might have been the chief of police, but he was talking about the fact that they got all these people who've been charged with gun possession crimes.
Yes.
But they let them back out on the street.
That's right. That's the policy there. Dan Bongino, who is a commentator with Fox News, this is cut number one, Brent. This is how he assessed the weekend. Cut number one.
If the government can't even provide security because you're handcuffing your police officers, and let me be clear, I'm not blaming the cops for the Chaz or Chopped or Choptylvania or Chazistan, whatever it is. I'm not blaming the cops. I'm blaming the mayor, who is an absolute harsher. The cops know exactly what to do, right? It's the mayor. If you can't provide security in that hierarchy of needs for people, then what's the point? What's the point of government? I mean, to have your garbage picked up a few times a week.
That's Dan Bongino.
That guy, he's Italian, right?
I'm just
going by the. I can tell. Mm-hmm. I grew up with dinners around the supper table. They were just like that. What's the point?
What's the point?
Listen, I don't know what it's like to live in these big cities. Now, over the course of my life, I've lived in some big cities. I lived in Boston. I've lived in Dallas. I've lived in Phoenix. I lived in the Los Angeles area. I've lived in some big cities. I would not live in one of these big cities in 2020.
No.
They're out of control, and it is solely on the shoulders of the Democratic leadership in these cities. This Seattle situation, I don't know what the mayor or the governor think is going to happen at some point. Do they think it's going to get easier to get these people out of here, the Capitol Hill organized protest zone, the CHOP zone. It's whatever steps you're going to have to take, you're going to have to take it sooner or later. I don't know what they're waiting for. But this really does, to kind of take what Dan Bongino is saying, this really does have the potential to be a horror show in Seattle. If people start dying and you can't get in there.
I wonder how long it'd take the Seattle mayor to shut down a 6-block area of the city if everybody inside that six-block area were wearing red hats that says Make America Great Again. How long would it take her to shut that down and say this lawlessness will not stand?
Yep, in
well,
no time.
We've all seen the video of, like, right. New York City, for example, where they had protests, but then I saw a video of the police going to these, you know, these parks that are, like, in the median inside New York City, where, you know, there's fences and benches and kids can hang out and kids can play. Well, I saw these Hasidic Jews being escorted out of the park by the police, having to take their kids. They had it, they could, because of social distancing. Mm-hmm. The week after they had huge protests.
Yep.
So this is what happens. Law-abiding people will be subject to the law, but radicals will not. So in answer to your question, it wouldn't take long.
Governmental authorities will not challenge the lawlessness. As we see in Seattle, in these big cities.
Yeah.
In these big cities. It's two different Americas right now.
Right.
That's for sure. And a lot of it, a lot of the protests are being driven by the organization, Black Lives Matter. Now, there was an interview that was published on the weekend with Patrice Cullors, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. Again, capital B, capital L, capital M. This is the organization, with realnews.com. And she admits that she and other founders are trained Marxists. It's cut number 7, Brent.
We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
I watched that. That was an interview. That lady you just heard right there was, what was her name?
Patrice Cullors.
Okay.
Cullors.
Or what is her name? She is one of the three founders of Black Lives Matter. So, again, Black Lives Matter is a political organization, a Marxist, and they're proud of it. You just heard her. We're trained Marxists, she said. Political organization, and you have a lot of people, I think, unknowingly and unwittingly saying they support Black Lives Matter when they don't know what these people stand for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Truly. The reason for the conflation or the confusion or the ignorance, I think, is because if somebody asks you, do you believe that Black Lives Matter, you would say, yes, Black Lives Matter, and then obviously all lives matter. But that's taken as support in many, many ways. Many people take that as support for the Black Lives Matter, the organization.
Right.
And so when I'm seeing these companies and so forth pledging money to Black Lives Matter, I just wonder, does that mean you're giving to the United Negro College Fund, you know, something like that, which nobody objects to? Or are you giving to Black Lives Matter so that they can use that money to further their Marxist agenda and the other very destructive things they have planned for the U.S., basically to eradicate our country as it has existed? Is that what you're supporting? You know what I'm saying? For example, I noticed that the University of Tennessee, I was reading a sports website to get my mind off the calamities that beset us here and just have a little escapism, and you can't escape this even in the world of sports, but the University of Tennessee was announcing that at one of their football games this fall, they will be wearing black jerseys. And that they were going to be making a donation to Black Lives Matter. And there were several fans of the volunteers who were posting messages under there saying, I'm fine with wearing a black jersey at one of the games to
like promote, in support of the black community.
To support the black community. I mean, after all, the vast majority of the players are African American, right? So But they were saying, I'm fine with that, but I'm not good with thinking if they're going to take up a donation and give it to an organization like Black Lives Matters. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So this is the real confusion across the country. I saw Russell Wilson last night on a television ad. He's the NFL quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. He's a Christian, says he is, has in the past, although he also, well, I won't get into that. Anyway, he had a big shirt on, a T-shirt saying Black Lives Matters, and I didn't hear everything he said because it was silent. I was watching on TV at a restaurant, but I thought to myself, I wonder if Russell Wilson realizes, is he saying Black Lives Matter in a general sense that we could all agree on, or is he saying he supports the Black Lives Matter political movement, which basically would take away all his money he makes from his from his sports career.
Yeah, and the organization, Black Lives Matter, says right there on their website they are opposed to the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. They're trying to deconstruct it. They are all in on the LGBTQRST movement. So this is a radical organization. I am hoping that this is being done in ignorance, that it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction on the part of corporations or the University of Tennessee because they want to show their support for the black community. So Black Lives Matter is one of the themes of the protests, and so they're saying we support that, and they just have been hoodwinked by this organization.
I think the time has come where political leaders and business leaders and celebrities need to be asked this question. Are you supporting Black Lives Matter, the political organization, yes or no? Because we need education on this.
Right.
Well, the Black Lives Matter organization is part of all of these protests that we are seeing.
Right.
Sure they are.
In Seattle. I mean, there was one interviewed in Seattle. I mean, she's an organizer of that district that's been taken over. And I thought it might be beneficial because you just said something. A lot of people are ignorant as to the agenda of capital B, capital L, capital M. We now have this founder saying, yes, we're trained Marxists.
Right.
A lot of people don't know what Marxism is.
Yes, Marxism, Karl Marx, and Friedrich Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto, and that was published in 1848. It was hugely influential in terms. There were socialists before that, but it kind of brought a lot of these diverse ideas into one stream. So Marxism is basically the promotion of socialism / communism, which believes. I'm sure people don't want to have a whole, instruction time on this, but it is opposed to capitalism, and it calls for the overthrow of the capitalist system, governments in support of those systems. It believes that what it calls the proletariat, the working class, will eventually rise up and form a new state, okay, which will oversee the dismantling of the capitalist system. And then at some point, because at that point, everyone is allowed to share in all the world's goods, the state will eventually wither away. The problem is that is not human nature. That is a materialistic view of human nature based in Darwinism and evolution. That's not the way people behave. And there has never been a communist government where the state withered away, and then everyone just was in love, and because dictatorship and totalitarian governments must maintain the move towards utopia.
Yeah,
it can get a lot more complex than that. But Marxism is the belief that what we have now needs to be overthrown.
Yes.
So Black Lives Matter, the organization, when this one of the founders says we are, trained Marxists, they are out to overthrow not just capitalism, but the government and all support, including the church, everything that supports the capitalist system must be overthrown. So that's why when we say cultural Marxism in colleges and universities, they go after the church as well as capitalism, because we're all part of the problem.
Listen to this. Mark Levin on the weekend interviewed University of California, Santa Cruz professor emeritus John Ellis. To your point, when you mentioned universities, indoctrination, and why you see so many young people involved with this and buying into this, listen to what he has to say. He says the resistance, it's going to be cut number five, Brent, says the resistance you see on the streets began in university classrooms.
The public sees the shoutdowns and the near riots with regard to visiting speakers, but it doesn't think about how that could happen. And the reason it happens, of course, is you've got students largely doing it in those cases, but they're taught by radical professors, so that the real source of the problem is not the shoutdowns. The source of the problem is in the classrooms where those kids learn their contempt for ideas that don't fit with what their professors are teaching them. So you're seeing a superficial symptom. The real problem is way behind the scenes in the classrooms, which the public never sees.
Well, and let me just say this too. This is creeping lower and lower in our educational system.
Yes.
Okay, it is going to lower and lower grades. This is why these young people are coming out. You know, the statue of Ulysses S. Grant was toppled. The Lincoln Memorial was defaced during these protests. These young people are being taught that everything about our nation up to this point is evil. That's why these young people are just jumped. It's not just, they're not going to stop with the Confederate statues. Okay, they're going to topple everything that has to do with the founding of this nation, because it's all evil. That's what they're being taught.
And I think the bottom line, too, and I think it's important to mention this, I don't think these believers, these Black Lives Matter, capital BLM, care all that much about the death of some African Americans.
Right.
They are using it as a launching pad for the complete takeover of the country. It's a launching pad. That's all it is.
That's what we see in Seattle.
Yes.
That they are saying, the people who have started that and are running the show there, they don't want to just defund the police.
No.
They have said it's all going to go.
Yeah.
Okay? That is the mentality we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
And shame on, listen, shame on America in general for letting colleges and universities get that far. But on the other hand, most Americans on both sides, liberals and conservatives, I'm talking about old-time liberals, they basically were just living their lives and raising their families and trying to make the mortgage payment, okay? These radicals, this is all they do.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is teach and plan for the overthrow of this country.
Yeah. Let me read the, I think it's the first, how long do we have here? May not have time for this. I'm reading, if you go to the blacklivesmatter.com website, they have a page that says what we believe, and the third paragraph down, well, I'm not going to be able to finish. I'm not that fast a reader. I'm not like those people who warn you against the side effects of drugs.
Well, we'll come back after that.
May kill you.
Not available in Montana.
All right, we'll come back and I'll read this, because I think it's instructive as to the mentality behind part of the mentality behind the Black Lives Movement organization. Again, Black Lives Matter is a political organization with goals and agendas, and people need to talk about this more, because I think a lot of folks are unwittingly signing up for Black Lives Matter, the organization, when they don't even know what they believe.
That's right.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
And more testing reveals more of us carrying the virus. It means nothing. It means nothing. And when they say hospitalizations are increased, that's because, you might recall, that for about 3 months, nobody was able to go to the hospital.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Protesters in Portland, Oregon, toppled a statue of President George Washington and draped a burning flag over the ruins. On Sunday, protesters defaced and toppled a statue of Thomas Jefferson outside of Portland High School. This is not a random occurrence, folks. What happened in Portland is part of a national movement to turn our history into rubble. The cancel culture's ultimate goal is to complete President Obama's fundamental transformation of the nation. If they can convince a generation of American young people our nation was founded by a bunch of racist slave owners, they can make the argument that our nation's founding is illegitimate. And once they destroy all the statues of our founding fathers, what's to stop them from doing the same thing to the founding documents they wrote? My new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, documents what I believe to be a very dangerous crusade to erase American history and culture. You can get a copy right now at toddstarnes.com.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues. If you'd like to watch, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. Type in Today's Issues. And you can watch us live video streaming the program, Facebook or YouTube. You can also access the stories that we talk about. We post those on our Facebook page. So you can have the original sources of the, what we talk about here on the program. Before the break, by the way, I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. Before the break, and if you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We are going to get to the presence rally in Tulsa over the weekend. But before we do, I wanted to, we're trying to inform you about the Black Lives Matter organization. Again, to differentiate between the concept of Black Lives Matter, lowercase, which we all can agree, yes, Black Lives Matter. But there is the Black Lives Matter organization, which is dangerous, and many people don't know that. Unless you're a Marxist, in which case, they're not dangerous. You're cheering them on because they are self-proclaimed Marxist. That's what they are. The Black Lives Matter leadership. Anyway, on their BlackLivesMatter.com website, what we believe. Third paragraph down, this is what they say. Black Lives Matter began as a call to action in response to state-sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. I want to get back to that in just a minute, but it says our intention from the very beginning was to connect black people from all over the world who have a shared desire for justice to act together in their communities. The impetus for that commitment was and still is the rampant and deliberate violence inflicted on us by the state. End of quote. Now, so what they're saying is our motivation is based on the fact, that this is their fact, this is what they would say, that the government in the United States, at least, maybe other places they would cite, is intentionally committing acts of violence against people because they're black. That's what's driving. That's one of the big things that's driving them. Did I miss?
No, that's right.
Misrepresent what they're saying here?
Right.
State sanctioned. I think that's important. In response to state sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. This is the narrative that, namely, if you could ask them, they would say probably that police departments are intentionally killing black people, mm-hmm. and they're going after us, our people, black people, and we're fighting back against this. That's what they call state sanctioned. They don't even call it police brutality.
No, because it goes for a Marxist, it goes deeper than just the police, because not only the police but the entire state exists to protect the capitalists, okay?
And that's why you hear the phrase systematic racism.
Right.
When you hear that phrase, what they're saying is the right. culture that we have today is racist.
Right.
Yeah, and let me just add this. We're not even at this point, we may have some black listeners out there, we're not even talking about whether or not systemic or systematic racism exists. Let's have that debate. That's fine. Okay. What Black Lives Matter means by systemic or systematic racism is the whole system has to go.
Yes.
That's why they talk about systemic racism is because the whole system is corrupt. That's why you have ideas like white privilege that are linked to these kinds of cultural Marxist ideas. Is because they are talking about the inability to correct the problem with a few laws or prayer meetings or an election. It can't be cured that way. It has to be overthrown. Mm-hmm. That is a Marxist idea.
No, that's what they say. They call their efforts a revolution.
Yes.
And they're. I mean, that's what they say. They're proud of right. it. I'm talking about what Black Lives Matter, the organization, says. Mm-hmm.
So. And if you want evidence of where all of this leads, think Cuba.
Yeah.
Think Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of us from AFA had the opportunity to go with a ministry a few years ago to Cuba. What an eye-opener, folks. Now, the Castro family and a few of his friends live very well. The rest of that island of Cuba, which is about 400 miles long, is poverty. Poverty. Total poverty. Because they believe, the leadership believes, they have the right to this.
Right.
Now, everybody, they'll tell you, everybody has a job. It's free education. It's free health care. You ought to see what passes as health care in Cuba, folks. You ought to see what passes as education in Cuba. You ought to see what passes as a job. You know, there's all kinds of people wearing little uniforms down there. You pass by them, checkpoints along the roads, and all this kind of thing. Everybody has a uniform.
Right.
Because that's a mark that you work for the government. But you barely 2 cents rubbed together. That's what you're left with.
Well, you're looking at the same thing in Venezuela,
yes.
The same thing in the concentration camp known as North Korea. The only reason China is advancing is because they started developing capitalist principles and absorbing capitalist principles and stealing
yes.
ideas and technology from the West,
yes.
like the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So this, if you look, if you want to find out, if you want to learn a very simple way, if you're sitting there going, I'm not sure I understand this socialism, communism thing, I'm going to recommend a book. All right. It's a very short book. It's by George Orwell. Yes, that George Orwell, who wrote 1984 about totalitarianism in the West or in the world. Get the book Animal Farm. All right. It's very simple. In fact, there was an animated movie that you can watch for free on YouTube, Animal Farm. You read that book, you will understand the ideas behind the quote-unquote communist revolution, the ideology, and you'll also read what Fred's talking about, because the leaders of communist revolutions always rise to the top and have vacation homes and vehicles and nice salaries and big fat bank accounts. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to understand socialism? Read the book Animal Farm.
Yeah,
and you will understand why these things always go awry.
Yeah,
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. Fred,
next story: Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Saturday night. Now we heard last week leading up to the event. A million people? I think they said they had requests for tickets. And then things started to unravel as we got to Thursday and Friday. The mayor of Tulsa put a curfew in place. And then there was concerns. The mainstream media, of course, went to work on, this is dangerous because of the pandemic, people that close together, et cetera, et cetera. So by the time we got to the event in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Saturday evening, the media taking their pictures noticed the upper echelon of this arena, which seats 19,000 people, there were a lot of empty seats. Right. That immediately became the media's story. It was a total, they say it was a failure, a total failure. Now, President Trump himself was President Trump at a rally. I have to tell you that. In fact, I'm going to play you a clip from the rally on Saturday night. Earlier in the week, one of the mainstream media stories was questioning the health of President Trump because a few weeks ago he was at West Point graduation and he saluted 600 graduates, okay, over an hour, hour and a half. And then when he started to get off the stage, the ramp leading from the stage was stainless steel.
Right.
He had smooth leather shoes. And so he moved very cautiously down that ramp. Well, the mainstream media went ballistic saying, oh, that's a health problem.
Yeah.
He's pretty shaky. You know, he's been up there for about an hour and a half. He's pretty shaky. Well, President Trump, amongst other things, subjects on Saturday night, decided to put the record straight as to why he moved slowly down that ramp. Cut number six.
I was on the stage for hours. Hours! Sun. I came home. I had a nice tan. meaning I had a nice sunburn. I salute for probably an hour and a half, maybe more, but around that. Watch. If I'm off by 2 minutes, I'll say, he exaggerated. It was only an hour and 25 minutes. So then I finished saluting my final salute. I said, thank goodness. Thank you very much. The general says, sir, are you ready? I said, I'm ready, General. Where are we going now? And the stage was higher than this one. And the ramp was probably 10 yards long. I say, General, I've got myself a problem, General. This was a steel ramp. It had no handrail. It was like an ice skating rink. I can't fall with the fake news watching.
And that is why he moved cautiously down that ramp at the West Point graduation. But I got to tell you, I came in yesterday to look at the mainstream media, how they reported on the event on Saturday night. The picture that they had of President Trump was him arriving at about 1:30 in the morning back at the White House on Marine One,
mm-hmm.
walking up the lawn of the White House. The man looked exhausted.
Sure.
And you can understand why he was probably exhausted. But he had his tie undone. He had red tie on that night. He had that undone. He looked exhausted. Right underneath that story of the president was a feature on George Soros, multi-billionaire who a lot of people
say. What website is this you're talking about?
This is the Associated Press.
Okay.
All right? They had a nice picture, a grandfather picture of Soros, who we know funds all kinds of radical left groups. And they did a lovely piece on him. Was it any accident that the stories next to the Trump rally was a nice feature on George Soros?
And we joked around about the picture. The picture of George Soros, I said, looks like one of those Soviet Union era paintings of Lenin,
yes,
staring up and out into the future of the Soviet people and the future of communism. That was the kind of picture they had of George Soros. He was looking up and out, nice lighting.
AP. I want to talk about the rally for just a minute. I watched some of it on television, probably half an hour of it. But the arena seated 19,000, and there were half that?
I think they said around a third of the seats were empty.
Okay. But there were a million plus requests for tickets. I don't know how you do. You have to request them, but they're free. I mean, you have to have them when you come in. Is that
yes,
the way it works?
Yes, that's the way it's
just working. So they can gauge, I guess. And they were supposed to have an outside audience where they were to address them,
mm-hmm.
but that got canceled. And AOC, Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, she says that she was part of a group that advocated that people get the tickets but don't use them just to punk the Trump campaign.
And just to keep people from being able to actually go.
She was proud of that.
Right.
That she's, you know, we sabotaged the
yes.
the rally. By the way, just an aside, I can't, generally speaking, Republicans don't try to sabotage rallies of Democrats in these kinds of underhanded ways. I wouldn't be for that.
Right.
You
me
know.
Either.
But Democrats, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them now view themselves as unhinged from normal political activity and how you handle yourself and the way you go about things, because they say President Trump is akin to Adolf Hitler, and people who support him are Nazis. That's how they framed it.
Right.
So if you're fighting Hitler and the Nazis, you can do anything to them with impunity.
Right.
And all you got to say is, I'm taking down the Nazis. That's the way this thing's being framed
right,
mm-hmm. right now. So I don't know what all happened Saturday night, but I think had everything been normal, no COVID, and also not danger of taking your family downtown Tulsa and being assaulted by Antifa, which was a real concern, or somebody else, mm-hmm. that it probably would have been a filled up arena.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then, you know, 19,000, yes, that's a lot of people, but then again, it's not a lot of people when you're talking about a president coming to a major rally. Then he hadn't had one in, what, 2-3 months?
Mm-hmm. Right.
3 months or something like that. So I wouldn't read too much into the fact that, let's say the president had 8,000 people there that were able to get inside the arena. That's 7,940 more than Joe Biden. Okay, because Joe Biden had his rally, in quotations, looked like he had it in a high school gym with 8 people,
yeah.
What I could see, and they were socially distanced. It looked so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, so hilarious. It looked like a Saturday Night Live skit. I wouldn't have done that. I would just stay in my basement and say, I'm not doing that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be a photo op for me. But there is zero enthusiasm for Joe Biden on the Democrat side, except for the we want to beat Donald Trump. And that's strong.
Yes.
I'm not going to deny that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very strong motivational factor on the left. Now, I don't think that's... It remains to be seen whether that's going to be strong enough to carry Biden to an election victory in November. But there's, you know, the Bernie Sanders folks, they don't care about Joe Biden. They think he's a corporate establishment Democrat. It's not right. going to do anything for them. Except, I guess they're holding out for maybe who he will get for be his VP. If he can get a far left progressive as VP, then maybe the Biden camp will get behind him, because they know that Biden's really not going to be the president, right? Because he doesn't have the physical or mental capabilities to carry out a presidential schedule because of the problems we've all seen publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we all know this. So we all know that whoever the VP is going to be the president pretty quick. So I guess there's a lot of people on the far left waiting to see who that will be because they need one of theirs in that position for them to get excited and motivated to go out and work and vote for and get people to go to the polls for Biden.
Right.
That makes sense?
No, yeah. No. And you have to think about, I mean, one of the leading candidates right now, apparently, to be on the ticket with Joe Biden is Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris. Now, you talk about someone who's far, far left. The other person apparently being considered is the mayor of Atlanta. And we know where she stands on the police department in Atlanta. So you've got those two individuals. I mean, it seems to be now a foregone conclusion. Amy Klobuchar bowed out there last week, Senator.
She was the one I would have selected.
Mm-hmm.
Had I been Joe Biden, I would have taken care of that. The reason I say that is she doesn't scare voters, and so she's a pretty safe pick in that way. And I would assume she could help Biden take Wisconsin.
Yes.
Okay. When you get down to the kind of presidential politics we've been engaged in the last, what, three election cycles or four? Narrow margins. This country is split 50-50.
Yes.
Right.
So if you can strategize to pick off one or two key swing states, mm-hmm. like a Wisconsin, for example, that could be enough to put you over the top.
Right.
But I'm talking about something that's not going to happen because Klobuchar has taken herself out. Yeah. I don't think Kamala Harris, senator of California, I don't think she had squat to the ticket because she's regarded basically as a lightweight on the Democrat side, in my opinion. This is my opinion. I'm sure she would say, well, you're a lightweight. So, But the Democrats are already going to win California.
Yeah,
right.
So she doesn't add anything there.
That's right.
So I don't think he'll end up picking her. The problem, too, that Biden's going to have is he doesn't know any of these people, hardly. That maybe Klobuchar he does because he's been in the Senate with her.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't know any of these people very well. And for them to sign on to work with him, you know what I'm saying, on a day-to-day basis, and he's in the condition, state of mind he's in,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come down and if he didn't choose Elizabeth Warren or somebody that he knows well.
I don't know. I think he's got a lot of pressure to pick an African-American female.
Yeah, it's got to be a woman because he promised his vice president will be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pressure is on, well, what kind of woman?
Yes. Okay.
But can it be a minority? Does it have to be a black lady?
Because
you got the American Indian angle,
yeah,
from Elizabeth Warren.
Warren.
No. That you could qualify as a woman who's also a minority.
Yeah,
right. So
you don't think that's going to work, Fred?
No.
And well, who you got to go with? Who you're
well?
Not Kamala Harris.
I think the pressure
is Stacey Abrams.
I was going to say a far leftist female African American.
Stacey Abrams has a lot of baggage.
Yes.
That the American public doesn't know about yet. I'm not saying that just because she's a liberal, because
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of liberals out there who don't have baggage, unless you include their fundamental ideology baggage.
Right.
But I'm just saying she has a lot of, those things, she will be scrutinized more if she's selected to run for VP. But she doesn't even know Joe Biden, and Joe Biden doesn't even know her.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, it seems to me you've got to think back. I mean, Obama knew Biden. He selected Biden. They knew each other from working
from
in
the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Now, Trump and Pence didn't really know each other, but they got together real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They probably knew each other, but they didn't know each other well. Thinking back, Cheney and Bush knew each other well.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton and Gore knew each other well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, to pick somebody to run for VP. Now McCain and Sarah Palin didn't know each other
right.
Well. That's an example.
But now the scuttlebutt, as it were, during the campaign was that McCain and Palin, that there was some friction there, mm-hmm. that he did not, that, you know, kind of, I don't know if he wound up ever saying he regretted the choice or whatever, mm-hmm. but to your point, that's the kind of thing that can happen. If you pick someone
yes.
you don't know,
yes.
and her views yes. are diametrically opposed to yours, or more likely are the same as yours but go too far, if you're Joe Biden, you don't want to continually be explaining why your vice presidential candidate called for defunding police.
Yeah.
You know, Fred,
these far left views, I think a lot of what's going on now with these presidential polls, you can't really tell. You're not going to be able to tell much to me till you get to October.
Agreed.
All right. When the average American starts really paying attention and we've had maybe a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Or half a debate if it's Joe Biden's bedtime and he has to leave early. You might have half a debate, for example. But I'm just saying that right now, Biden is benefiting from the fact that he doesn't have to get out. He's not getting out in the public, right?
Was it 81 days?
Yeah. He has done former Vice President Biden has not done a press conference in 81 days. Terry McAuliffe, the former governor of Virginia and Democrat National Committeeman, was caught on a phone conference with fellow Democrats saying we need to keep Joe Biden we need to keep him in the basement.
Right. Did he really? He was caught.
Yes, he was.
That?
Yes, he needs to stay in the basement. That's what McAuliffe was caught saying. Because I'm serious. Because Biden is benefiting from the fact that he doesn't have to come out. And so people are just saying you're getting a lot of, well, President Trump, so Biden's benefiting from a lot of the,
right.
you got the corona. Let's face it, our country's been hit hard. Trump was up in the polls,
yes.
and his job approval was doing fine until the coronavirus hit.
Right.
Yes.
And that had a effect on the American psyche that causes a lot of people to have a negative view of whoever is in charge at
mm-hmm,
the time,
right.
mm-hmm.
you know, so, but I think that will wane and the closer we get the economy, if it keeps coming back, the things will level out. I still think it'll be a 50-50 presidential
mm-hmm.
race, no matter
who. It's
going
to be razor thin.
Yeah.
Either
but
way.
A lot of these far left positions that the Democrats have staked out, I think they're going to come back to bite them
mm-hmm.
with the independent voter.
Yes.
Because remember, all the Democrats, including Biden, they're for giving free health insurance to anybody who can come here.
Yeah. Right, even illegally.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Illegally. In fact, the Democrats want to take away the word illegal. They want to have no borders.
That's right.
Am I? Mm-hmm. Now, Biden wouldn't say that.
Right.
But that's he wants to have a, give them a what, kind of like a, I don't know, give them a Subway gift certificate as they come across the border. He wants some kind of contact, but it's minimal. And in essence, he doesn't want any borders.
Right.
And then if you can get here, he wants to give them free health insurance.
Yeah.
I think that you could lose 1% of the vote on that.
Yeah.
Right there.
And then, if the violence continues around the country in Democrat-run cities.
Yeah, defund the police.
Yeah.
If that's the mantra
mm-hmm.
Of the Democrat Party, which it seems to be, even though some of them say, no, that's not what we're for, that could cost you another 1% or 2%. So
yeah.
a lot of these far-left positions, I think, are going to come back to bite the Democrats in November. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.